Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd Today. Here's
Brad Shepherd.
On Wednesday, August 16th, Sheriff Cochise's annual conclave saw its third run at the Elks in Springfield. The air was redolent with sausages, burgers, and beer, as the expected confluence of business, law enforcement, and statewide politicos gathered. Although not an election year, the event, as expected, was quite well attended. As the golf tournament ended, many happy folks stowed their clubs and joined the camaraderie. On our program today, I will bring you a few highlights of some of the attendees who stopped and chatted with me for a moment or two, and we'll get underway right after this word. This program is brought to you by Mike's Auto Repair, 173 River Street, West Springfield, owned and operated by Michael Zavick, an ASC-certified master technician with over 20 years of experience. He employs only experienced technicians that will treat you with the most courtesy and your vehicle with respect. Mike's Auto Service and Repair provides a full range of automotive services, including preventative maintenance and major repairs. That's what makes them the best auto repair West Springfield has to offer. Mike's Auto Service and Repair will never skimp on the quality parts used or the technology and equipment readily available to their technicians. This is a promise, as you deserve nothing less. Superior quality, training, and experience. That's the Mike's Auto Service story. 173 River Street, West Springfield.
Well, here we are at the Sheriff's Picnic and or Cookout, or whatever you want to call it, for 3 years now under the auspices of Sheriff Cochise. And this lovely young lady I have spoken to 1 year ago today, and she's back again. She is your state auditor, Diane DiZoglio. Hello,
hey,
Diane.
Hey, everybody. Great to be back, Brad. Great to be back at Sheriff Cochise's annual picnic.
You bet.
Here in Western Mass. We love it. It's the most wonderful time of the year, we call it out here.
Did you play any golf today?
I did not play
Neither
the golf.
Did I.
I will tell you, I've been trying for years to get a little bit better at golf. Everybody tells me I need to get a good golf game. And look, I can do scrimmages as long as there are other people playing with me and their ball counts.
That's pretty good.
And I do enjoy being out there with everybody. I'm social in that way. But you don't really want me on your team if you want to actually win. That's all I have to say.
Well, winning's overrated anyway. Diane is our state auditor, of course, and you're a former state rep and a former state senator. And you've been, for a very...
birthday this year.
Well, you can lie about it.
We're telling everybody.
You never know it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I have my 40th birthday. But, I started off, as a state representative. Mm-hmm. I was a state representative for 6 years, representing the Merrimack Valley region of Massachusetts, up on the New Hampshire border. Made friends with lots of folks out this way, your state delegations, your senators, your state representatives who, did a great job of educating me on the challenges facing Western Mass, and I was able to support those efforts in the legislature. And then I moved to the state Senate, where I served 4 years there. And most recently, I just ran for state auditor. And I'm very grateful and humbled to have this position. We're hard at work. You may have heard about some of the audits we're working on.
I have. And I was just going to say that you're talking about my old stomping ground, because I lived and worked in the Merrimack Valley for years and lived just over the border in Nashua. And I worked in Lowell for about 7 years on radio there. So
I worked in Lowell.
Did you?
Yes, my friend. I worked at the United Teen Equality Center in the city of Lowell.
Yeah.
And I went to Middlesex Community College there.
You see, all this is very familiar.
Shameless plug for our community colleges. They are doing a great job, and we need to support our community colleges and state universities.
Well, one of the things I know that is very important to you in your role as state auditor is accountability.
Yes.
Okay. How would you define that? Obviously, we understand what the word means, but in your circumstances, what does accountability mean to the state auditor?
Yeah, I think the best way to talk about accountability as it pertains to the auditor's office is, making sure that our state government agencies and departments and that their processes and procedures, activities and functions, that they're all serving the public the way that they are meant to be serving the public. We hear a lot of times folks sharing frustrations with our office that they contacted a department of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts only to you know, have to face incredible red tape and getting access to what they were calling about. You know, that's not the way government's supposed to work. So our office goes in, and we are the state's chief accountability office, I like to call it, because people get a little confused by the title state auditor sometimes. And it's funny, I'll walk into a room and where I used to say, they said, what did you do before? I would say, oh, I'm a senator. Folks would come over and say, oh, great, senator, I'd like to talk to you about this quality initiative. Now when I say I'm the auditor, they go running in the other direction and they say, please don't audit me.
Yeah.
And I like to inform people, you know, our office doesn't audit individuals. We don't audit you, the people of Massachusetts. We're not the IRS. We don't look at your tax records. What our office looks at is we actually audit the government for you, the taxpayers, not you for the government. So if folks have stuff that they want us to look at, you know, we're auditing right now the MBTA. We know that we have trains catching on fire. We have safety issue after safety issue, performance issue after performance issue. Right now, our office is conducting a safety and performance audit of the MBTA to hold the agency more accountable for making sure that they are making progress in better serving residents of the Commonwealth.
So in many cases, in many situations, when a resident here in the Commonwealth is having trouble getting attention to a problem that they've tried to bring to the political powers that be, you can troubleshoot that situation.
Yes, we can take a look at what's happening in that state agency and analyze their activities, functions, processes, and procedures to help identify gaps in the systems so that we can help make government work better. That is our office's slogan for a reason. A lot of folks think that, you know, the auditor's office goes in and, you know, that some of these state agencies might view an audit as being something to be scared of. But, you know, we tell these agencies, look, we're here to help, not to hurt your organization. We're here to help make your office and your agency work better for everybody, so folks can get access to what it is you're doing and help identify those gaps.
I can't even imagine how swamped and busy your office must be.
Well, we have about 70 audits that are ongoing right now. I won't be able to give you a list of everything offhand, but I will tell you some of the higher priority things that maybe you've heard about, I should say. The higher sort of profile things, I should say, that you've heard about are, you know, the MBTA audit, auditing the state's supplier diversity office to make sure we're increasing equity across the board in our state contracting and procurement processes. For as much as we hear pontifications at the State House about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's actually less than 1% of our state contracts and billions of dollars that go to minority businesses here in the state of Massachusetts. That's unacceptable. So our office is conducting an audit of our state supplier diversity office, seeing how we can improve processes there. And we're also conducting an audit of the state legislature, which you may or may have not heard about.
Yes, I have.
The state legislature, where it is actually now the only agency, or the only entity, I should say, that is outright refusing an audit by the Office of the State Auditor.
Oh.
And again, our office is here to help. We're not here to hurt organizations. We're hoping that legislative leaders will see the light, so to speak, and that they will begin to work with our office. We are pursuing a ballot initiative. We hope to solicit support from anybody listening today if you'd like to join our efforts to bring the issue of auditing the legislature to the ballot, to give voters the opportunity to express how you all feel about ensuring that there's accountability and transparency in the legislature. We would welcome your support in getting that issue on the ballot, the issue of auditing the state legislature. You can contact me at diana@dianadezoglio.com. We'd love your support. We need about 75,000 signatures plus to get on the ballot. So we really need help getting those signatures. And anybody interested, please reach out to me. We'll take your support.
Diane DeZoglio, on behalf of Western Mass, thank you for all the hard work and for listening to and caring about the state and its people. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, and it's always great to be back.
A very busy day here at the Sheriff's Picnic. Hey, Dom, let's pose for pictures. Look at that. And I'm here with a very dear friend who I've known, and I'm happy to say I've known for many years, the mayor of Springfield, Dominic Sarno. Dom, welcome back.
Brad, it's always great to see you. We had a lot of good times in your radio days, and I always call you the Dean Martin with that kick in the head. And I'm glad you're feeling well, you're doing well, and I always wish you the best, Brad.
Well, you're running again. You're coming back for more punishment, huh?
You know what? I love what I do. I live it 24/7, and I'm honored and privileged to be the mayor of the city of Springfield. And, you know, when you look at it, I have a proven track record. I've been battle-tested, given strong, strategic, efficient, effective leadership with heartfelt compassion. And, led us through a number of natural, man-made and natural disasters, from the devastating EF3 tornado in June 1st, 2011, the freak nor'easter that occurred late that October, pre-Halloween.
Oh.
We had the gas explosion downtown. We had the worldwide pandemic.
Yep.
So
when I think about this, that is one thing for the day-to-day operations of a sizable city such as Springfield, but it's another thing to have to navigate the city through the pandemic. And now, you have plenty of hair, although I know you've been tearing it out over the recent uptick in violence in the city, which I know has always driven you crazy.
Yes.
And you've worked very, very, very hard and tirelessly on this. And I feel your frustration when we think of the money that we pour into this problem, when we think of the deployment of officer after officer after officer that we pour into it. The present state of the art in deterrent and trying to figure out where the origin of much of this is coming from. What goes through your mind at this point? What do we do about this?
It's a multi-pronged approach. I firmly believe if you really want to knock down gun violence in America, because it's an epidemic in America, especially in urban centers, you got to keep those repeat violent criminal offenders locked up off my streets and out of my neighborhood. You do those 1 or 2 percenters, you'll see that going down a huge amount. Then you also have to have the preventative and proactive programs, which I fund millions of dollars of, to our schools, job programs, mental health, community centers, reentry programs with the great Sheriff Cochi, that if you do the right thing, you haven't made a really hideous type crime on it, that you get an opportunity to come out and provide for yourself, and also provide for your family, and provide for the community.
Yeah.
But you can't. Suppression is the key, and the courts, I'm not saying all are judges, some of the judges, you have to back it up, because it's demoralizing when you have these bad actors right back on the street. It erodes relationships. The community saying, geez, we work together, and the guy's right back on the street. Bracelets on, monitors, being cut off, guns, drugs, poison. I was at a wake, Elian Torres' wake, a couple weeks ago, to see the family, and they were like, we know you're fighting very, very hard to make sure that these things can continue to, these people be locked up. And then, they said to me, why was this person on the street? If this person was on the street, my son, my grandson, my nephew, my cousin still be alive.
Well, it's almost to hear you channeling Tony Scott when you talk about judges and so forth, and the judges will say, we're bound by the law.
Well,
what can we do?
I'm trying to change that law. State Representative Angela Kugel continues to file my bail reform legislation. So I also trying to do that. But, we just did, in working with the state police, I said, state police, FBI, DEA, ATF, and we're doing operations. Some you'll see, some are clandestine. But the recent one we did on School High, Temple Street, and Union Street, police report to me, since those judges held those bad actors, there's not been one shot spotted detection to go off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has to resonate with you and show you what you're doing. Dominic, I know how very, very busy you are. And I am thrilled to count you as a very dear friend. And thank you for being with us on Pioneer Valley Radio once again. Best of luck.
Thanks, Brad.
Joining me now is a lady in contention for the mayoral spot in Chicopee. She is Del Marina Lopez, And Del Marina, I don't know too much about you. I don't know if you're new to the political spectrum or it's just that I don't know too much about you. So why don't you fill me in on your background?
Absolutely. So I'm not really that new. I'm a little new because I'm on the younger side.
Okay.
But not that new.
Yes, you
are.
I'm
currently a city councilor in Chicopee.
Okay. Wonderful.
I'm an attorney, a small business owner, an educator. I'm not new to community service and service, public service. I worked for Governor Deval Patrick when I was 16. Was the youngest intern his office ever had here at the Western Mass office. I also was a law clerk while I was in law school and after law school for Secretary William Galvin. So I'm not new to public service, but I'm not a career politician. So
right.
That may be why you don't know about me.
No, I think that's a good attribute, quite frankly. What do you want to bring to the mayor's office?
So I think first and foremost, the city, Chicopee has some really, really good bones, but it needs some revitalization. And so part of my platform is transparency in city services. That goes hand in hand with revitalization. You know, our city government has faced some criticism recently because we have not been transparent as a city. And by we, I really mean the current administration. The current administration has not been transparent about how our funding is being spent, and we've actually had conversations about mismanagement of funds. You know, we saw in the media that recently we had $1.5 million is what they estimate, but we don't know what the real numbers are, of money that was mishandled, mismanaged, and we were paying insurance premiums for deceased and former employees in our city. And that's information that wasn't even given to the council, never mind the public. And so when we look at that and look at everything else that's happening in the city, and we look at many instances of us having conflicts of interest on the board, and we look at many instances of us facing different repercussions from the state for some of the behavior during meetings, realize that it's time for a leader that will be transparent. And I don't do the backdoor deals. I want to come in and do an audit. The city needs it. The residents deserve to know where every single dollar get spent, and I'm the kind of leader who will do that.
Del Marina, tell me, do you feel that Chicopee is as friendly to business as it can be?
I think Chicopee should be more friendly to business, especially small business. You know, I think we're now starting to see some small businesses come in to the city, but we need to continue to support the ones that already exist as we also bring in new business. We are not doing enough for the small business side of the city. We don't have a small business administration from the city side. All we have is the chamber that we partner with, and they're phenomenal. The Chicopee Chamber does great work, but they're not a city entity, and we need a city entity that will actually work with the small businesses. So we're not doing everything we could be doing. We need to be doing more. We need an economic development plan. We can't just bring in business just to bring in dollars. That's not a plan. That's throwing shots at a dartboard. You know, we need to have a plan about what we want to see in our city, how this benefits the residents, not just the bottom dollar.
How is the campaign going?
It's going phenomenally. I'm getting to meet hundreds and hundreds of residents every week, and everyone is ready for some change. You know, for the most part, we hear folks saying that they're very, very excited. They're excited about me and my background. They're excited about what I'm going to bring to the city. And more importantly, they're excited to see a different administration than what we've had.
Well, Del Marina, we appreciate you being with us on Pioneer Valley Radio, and I wish you the very best in the campaign. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Brad.
My pleasure. And now joining us for City Council in Springfield, Ward 6, we have Umberto Caro joining us. Umberto, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. So you're out there, you're a regular guy and a businessman and a citizen of Springfield, and you're throwing your hat in the ring for City Council Ward 6. What possessed you to do that?
I was looking for options for my kids. Actually, you know, I adopted 3 kids 11 years ago.
Wonderful.
And I was looking for options where to place my kids, and what made me go into was looking for options and how to bring services for the youth and the kids, work for the mental health, giving them exercise and support that is either low cost or free cost to them, and not have them in the streets. Because I know there's a lot of programs, but there's a lot of money. Not a lot of people could afford that kind of money. Once I went in and started knocking on doors, I saw that there was more issues than I wanted to be aware. You know, there's like, you know, we have a problem in Verney Lane with the disturbances at nighttime. Like, I've been knocking, you know, and they're, after 6 o'clock, they say that, you know, the residents cannot come out. So we need to get some people out there. We
need to bring... That's ridiculous. We don't live in a war zone, and you'll forgive me for interrupting you, but I just had a conversation with Mayor Sarno about this, and he's knocking his head against the wall trying to cope with an uptick in violent crime in the city. Do you have thoughts about that?
Yes, I think that we shouldn't be reactive. We should be proactive.
Okay.
We should be dealing with the mental health. We should be dealing with the kids since they're small. Of course, there's other things that we should be doing besides giving the policemen the resources that they need. Because, of course, they need the resources. But also allocating resources in the police department for mental health and have people. Because not everybody, you know, not everybody's good in their mental health. So we need to deal with that.
How would you characterize your campaign so far? How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I'm just going door to door, knocking, meeting people. I think that's the best way. Instead of just a broad spectrum, I go, you know, knocking door to door. I have not done any fundraisers, like big fundraisers, because I believe the touch with the people. I'm a people person. I'm I've been doing customer service for over 30 years.
Well, that helps. You're going old-fashioned grassroots.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Getting the message out there. Actually, people get to know a little bit of me because they won't get to know me completely until I'm in office, and they could actually actually abide with what I'm saying that I'm going to do.
That's a good positive attitude. Well, Umberto Caro for Ward 6 City Council, a pleasure to talk to you on Pioneer Valley Radio, and
good luck. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Interesting race shaping up for City Council in Springfield this election year. And looking for a seat on the council is our next guest, Mike Lee. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I know, Brad.
Good,
very good.
You're making U.S. political history, right?
And as far as I know, I am.
How are you doing this?
I'm running for the same political seat for the third year in a row, which I don't know who would even do that in this country, but
somebody who wants to present true stick-to-itiveness, that's who would do that.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, I was an amateur boxer, and our fights, I used to train with Pat Ireland, John Scully, a lot of guys in Springfield, and Golden Glove champ, 1991. So I know what it's like to be in the ring and fight, and I'm retired from fighting. I can't take any more punches, but this is my new ring, fighting for Springfield, and, you know, in amateur boxing, we fight three rounds, and this is my third round. So, and I've been beat before for two rounds and came back to win, so that's what I'm hoping to do this time around.
Okay, so you stopped fighting, you got out of the ring. What did you do after that? What have you been doing?
I was working at a Veterans Municipal Golf Course for a couple years.
Okay.
Then I had bad hits, so I got hip surgeries this past year, and I coach youth boxing, non-contact boxing in the Springfield school system, part of an empowerment program at Doug and Kennedy and Kylie. I've been doing that for the past 10 years, minus the COVID years. I coach at Central City Gym, and I also, the Sheriff's Department, I retired from the Sheriff's Department. I was a correction officer.
So then, Mike, the political bug bites, what caused that?
Well, I grew up in Forest Park all my life and been a Springfield resident, partly in South End in Forest Park, single mother, you know, didn't have much, she was a waitress. 2 years ago when I ran at large, there was 30 shots fired off in front of my mother's house on Trafton Road, right across the street from the park in broad daylight with kids in the park. I said, that's it, I had enough of the crime. I said, I'm putting my hat in. You know, I didn't know much about the political. So I've always been into politics, but I said I gotta do something as a citizen.
This is the common theme running through my conversations today.
Yeah.
Is that the issue of public safety, crime, uptick in violence, is affecting everybody in one way or another, and it's caused people such as yourself to want to roll up your sleeves, get involved.
Exactly.
Would this be pretty much your platform that you're running on, or what else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a simple equation. If we can stop the crime in the city, we can bring business here. People want to move here instead of moving out. You know, and it's still a great city. You know, but nobody's proud to say we average 20 murders a year. We're one of the, you know, and I tell you, you know, I recognize, I've known them all my life. Dom Sarno is one of, hands down, Mayor Sarno is one of the best mayors we've ever had.
I agree.
I think he needs help. I'm stepping up to offer my volunteer. You know, I'm pretty much volunteer. You know, I don't need to do it. It's a calling. It's an actual calling.
Well, I think that's good, because I think there are times that for the best reasons, and the council and the mayor are pulling in different directions, and you need to get the synergy back where you're all pulling in the same direction. Then things are going to happen. There'll be more traction.
He needs people to back him up.
Yeah.
You know, not, I think like 90% of the city councilors and a couple of these two, three of these mayoral candidates voted to defund the police. You know, I'm 100% for the police department. These guys want to go home at the end of the night. Maybe more community policing would help.
Well, there's a wave of this going on across the country. It's not good.
No.
It's not healthy. But how's the campaign going?
Good. We got 19 other people running, 20 people. I think that is fantastic that many people are showing interest. I mean, that's great. I think.
Well, yeah.
Personally, I've got the momentum. It's like I haven't stopped campaigning for 3 years. So, I just got two new hips. I got a right hip and a left hip in March and May. So I haven't been able to knock on the doors as much. At this point, I'm going to try to get through the preliminary and be back out there again.
Well, I certainly admire your perseverance, and we wish you the very best in this election.
Yeah, thank you.
Great
very
to have you on Pioneer Valley Radio, Mike.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Okay, just in conclusion, that's Mike Lee for City Council in Springfield. Well, it's pretty clear this is a very busy race for City Council this year, with a lot of folks vying for seats on the council, a lot of new faces, and a lot of good choices, I think, for the voters. And we have a gentleman here that's now who wants to be your city councilor at large. And he is Juan Latorre. Juan, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate you having me.
City councilor at large. I'm sure we have people listening who aren't really sure of what that designation means. At large.
Absolutely, Brad. So in 2009, the city of Springfield changed to what's known as ward representation.
Yeah.
In response to concerns that the city council and years prior did not really make up and look like the city of Springfield as a whole. So since 2009, we've had 8 ward seats on our 13-seat city council. And those individuals have to live in a specific geographic ward in order to run for a seat in the council. We then have 5 remaining at-large seats, and so individuals from anywhere in the city can run for one of the 5 at-large seats. And we all run in sort of a large head-to-head to compete for the support of the residents. And the top 5 vote-getters on November 7th will be serving a 2-year term.
Excellent. So this is the second time, I think you told me before.
That's right. I ran in 2021 as well.
Good. Good for you. So you're back again for more punishment, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're very proud of our record and what we accomplished in 2021. We didn't quite get in there, but we have not taken our foot off the pedal. We've continued to work across the city, and we're excited about our chances in 2023.
So what did you come away from the first effort with that you've decided to perhaps do differently this time around?
Well, you know what? I've been blessed by this experience of running for public office, because Springfield is a beautiful city, and I've lived here all my life, but it's a big city. And ultimately, it takes time to really comprehend the whole, to understand every neighborhood, to really get a feel for the concerns of different parts of the community. So we never stopped working all through 2021 and 2022. Through now, we've been working to engage with different groups. We've made sure that we stayed consistent with going to neighborhood association meetings and city council meetings so that I'm educated. We started a lot earlier this year with our door knocking campaign. And every touch I get in the city, hey, Juan, I voted for you. Juan, I want to volunteer this time. You know, Juan, what can I do to help out? We've just got such a stronger list of supporters, an organized database, and a more robust campaign to prepare us for the primary.
Well, that's wonderful. What's a central plank in your platform right now?
My biggest concern is the affordability of life in the city of Springfield.
For
all too many families, they're feeling the pressure on all sides, whether it's groceries, housing, taxes, fees and services, food, we'll take it. And so now as a city councilor, one of my core responsibilities and what I can control is the cost of housing in the city of Springfield. And two places that we can control it is recognizing that our property taxes on average have gone up about over $1,000 in the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And that rents are skyrocketing because we're about 11,000 units short in Springfield.
What's a statistic that was just released this week telling us that the average individual is paying $450 more a month for what they need than they did a year ago.
It's very challenging. And when it comes to housing, you know, a good rule is that no more than maybe 25 to 35% of your income per month should be going towards your housing expenses. And I'm talking with people in the city of Springfield, you know, that are paying 40, 50, 60%.
I know.
And God forbid something happens in their lives that they're not prepared for, they're at real risk in what we call housing instability and insecurity.
We have a whole culture now living paycheck to paycheck, and it was never supposed to be that way.
That's right.
You just put your finger on it, that if you're hit with some sort of calamity, you know, it can just absolutely finish you off financially. So it's good to hear that you've got your attention attuned to that one. It's important to a campaign to have something other than issues of violent crime and public safety, which are crucial. But it's good to hear that that is also in your viewfinder right now.
Absolutely.
So we're talking with Juan Lettori III.
That's right.
For City Councilor at Large in Springfield. Thank you for being with us on Pioneer Valley Radio, Juan.
Thank you so much, Brad. I appreciate it.
I met this man the first time he was running for Springfield City Council, and he won. And I attribute that entirely to his interview with me. Victor Davila, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, Victor. So you want to come back again? This will be term number three?
This will be term number three, and it has been an honor and a privilege to serve on the City Council. It's truly an experience.
Well, you're one of the few city councilors not running for mayor right now.
That's correct. No, I'm not running for mayor. I'm running for re-election.
We got a feeding frenzy on the council running for mayor.
We do. We have five candidates.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So how's it gone this year for you?
It's going well. Extremely busy.
Yeah.
But it's going well. I'm hitting the doors, talking to people. I have good positive feedback. And it's going well.
Okay. So, looking ahead, you get onto the council again for another term.
Yep.
What do you want to accomplish in term three?
So term three, I want to continue working what I started working now, that is on trash and litter. But we have a problem with trash and litter throughout the city. This year, I created an advisory committee from local residents in Forest Park. And we made 13 recommendations to the mayor. And I'm happy to say that the mayor has accepted some of those recommendations to address litter and trash throughout the city. So this is a problem that took us a year to get here. It's going to take us years to get out of it. But we need to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And now we have a plan. We have some sort of a blueprint, which is still being, you know, on the drawing board. But I want to continue doing that because this is home. And you know, Brad, that once you start talking about trash and litter, it may not sound sexy at all. However, when you start talking about trash and litter, two things happen. One, you realize the complexity of the problem.
Yeah.
And two, neighborhood pride comes out. I say, sure, because you're talking about your home, your street. So, you know, we are a good city. It's a beautiful city. And we should keep it as clean as possible.
Well, you make an interesting point, and that is trash and litter. It's one of those things, when it's being done right, you don't think about it.
Right.
Right? And you don't think it's a big deal.
Correct.
Until you're walking around in it.
That's right.
Then it's a very big deal, and then you got to put the genie back in the bottle, and that's a very hard thing to do.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that's great.
Yep.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you, sir.
I hope term number three is successful
God
for
willing.
You.
God willing. God willing.
And you stay in touch with us on that.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And God bless.
My pleasure entirely, Victor Davila.
This program is brought to you by Mike's Auto Repair, 173 River Street, West Springfield, owned and operated by Michael Zavick, an ASE-certified master technician with over 20 years of experience. He employs only experienced technicians that will treat you with the most courtesy and your vehicle with respect. Mike's Auto Service and Repair provides a full range of automotive services, including preventative maintenance and major repairs. That's what makes them the best auto repair West Springfield has to offer. Mike's Auto Service and Repair will never skimp on the quality parts used or the technology and equipment readily available to their technicians. This is a promise, as you deserve nothing less. Superior quality, training, and experience. That's the Mike's Auto Service story. 173 River Street, West Springfield.
The proceeding was a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2023.
All rights reserved.